O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you were wanting to look up this passage in the Bible, it's in chapter 20 of the Gospel of Matthew, and it's normally called the Parable of the Laborers in the Vineyard. Now that first bit, the parable part, that means that this is not something that really happened. This isn't an event that's a part of the events of the Gospel of Matthew or anything like that. It's not a story that really happened. That's not the point of it at all. The point of it is supposed to be a kind of a fable. It's supposed to be a teaching story about the heart of humanity, the deep places of human nature. What do I deserve? What do others deserve? What does it take to be a deserving person? What do I seek in the world? What good do I hope for? What are the far shores of my imagined hopes? That's what this story is about. And it is a painful story. That is, it is a story about the pain that touches on those deep places of humanity, the kind of pain that can crowd out the imagination of hope, the same way that pain can crowd out all those things that are not themselves pain. With its sharp elbows, pain can push joy and laughter and love and everything else out away. Some workers, they gather in the marketplace at the dawn of a new day, and they're hope is for work that is going to pay them enough. That's what it means to be paid a denarius. It is almost definitionally being paid enough. They hope for work that would pay them enough, and lo and behold, they are set to that work. The band of a few who had risen with the sun, they work amid the good news vines, pruning and watering and weeding, that there might someday be a great harvest. Throughout the day, more workers join. And if the addition of these latecomers does not lessen the work of the early risers, it at least speeds the whole matter along. More workers join, and more and more and more, until by the end of the day, it almost seems as if the whole town is there, alongside the early risers, toiling as one body before the swiftly setting sun. And then comes pay time. Then comes when there is recompense for the heat of the day and the burden of the work. And the early risers, they see the latecomers departing in joy, having been paid enough. Despite not having worked hard enough, the early risers see the latecomers departing in joy. And when the early risers, when they receive their pay, and when they see what they are paid and that it is enough, it is now merely enough. It's not really enough at all anymore, in fact. In their heart of hearts, they say to themselves, it is not enough, it is not enough, it is not enough. This is a story in which practically the whole town is set to work in common endeavor and everyone receives just enough, except what had been enough at the beginning of the day, it is no longer enough at all. Of course, I understand these workers. They cannot find the far shores of imagination of hope. They can't even actually express to the Lord of this vineyard what it is that they had hoped to receive. Instead, what they actually do say, what actually does come out of their mouths is, you have made them equal to us. We have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. We deserve enough. They do not. You have made the undeserving equal to us. They would have been satisfied. There would have been no problem if these others didn't get enough. This is a painful story. It's a story about the deep places of humanity. What do I deserve? What do others deserve? What do I seek in the world? This story can't be told as if it's cheerful. That is not an honest telling. This is a story of how pain that touches the deep places of humanity can throw its sharp elbows around, crowd out the imagination, make what had been enough into definitely not enough. It can crowd everything else out so that the joy of another person is now my pain. It's how the furthest that a person can extend their hope is that another would have less. It's not much of a hope. Thomas Merton, in his book, The Wisdom of the Desert, tells a story. It's not a story that really happened. That's not the point of this story at all. It didn't happen. It's a story about the deep places of humanity. Thomas Merton wrote, "One day, Abbot Lot went to go see his teacher, Abbot Joseph. And Abbot Lot said, 'Teacher, the best that I am able, I keep my little fast, my little rule, my little devotions. To the best I am able, I keep my meditation and my prayer. I try to cleanse my heart of earthly desires, but Abbot Joseph, it is not enough. I still do not have what I seek.' Now, Abbot Joseph listened closely to his student, and when his student was done speaking, Abbot Joseph got up out of his chair and he reached his arms and his hands up into the air until he stretched out each of his 10 fingers, and out of the tips of his fingers shot 10 candles of flame, 10 burning candles there in the middle of the desert. And Abbot Joseph said, 'Why not be completely changed into fire? Why not be completely changed into fire?'" Children of God, the world is telling a painful story. What do I deserve? What do others deserve? What do I seek in the world? What are the far shores of the imaginations of my hope? The world is telling a story of how one having enough means that another must have less. The world is telling this story in 100 ways, with borders made to bristle with walls, people growing poorer for the division on both sides. The story is being told in movies and TV shows and commercials to see that unless the one who looks like me is in the front, then I am less. The story is told in the language of less rights, less freedom, less dignity, less of daily bread even, less of those things that the human body needs to survive, that if another has it who is not deserving, then what I have can never be enough. It's a painful story. The story that the world is telling right now, we can't tell it as if it's cheerful. That's not an honest telling. But what am I supposed to do about that? What am I supposed to do about an entire world telling a story that I am a part of telling? I'm telling too. What am I supposed to do about all that? Why not be completely changed into fire? The pain of our day, it has a name. That name is grief. Perhaps the grief is for a day that you felt was a day of justice that was about to dawn, and suddenly the world is plunged back into the cold of night. No dawn in sight. Perhaps grief is telling you that you just have to wait. You have to wait until the next election cycle, the next board meeting, the next time promotions come around. And you know that you do not have what you seek. And what do? Why not be completely changed into fire? Why not see the light of the world, the light of God, the light of God's love in the world burning inside of you, burning inside of this community? Not triumphant, but burning. Perhaps the grief is different for you. Perhaps the grief that is inside of you has a name. Chuck. Ralph. Jimmy. Barbara. mom, dad. Perhaps grief is telling you you'll never see their face again. Perhaps grief is telling you that maybe on the other side of death's great veil, you shall be reunited, but for now all there is to know is pain, to know there is not enough, that you do not have what you seek. What to do about that? Why not be completely changed into fire? Why not feel the love of your lost loved one as the living light burning inside of you and around you, that greater light in which they are even now with us, which our beloved dead are beside us, grieving too, grieving not for themselves, for whom death and pain are no more, but grieving for us, for the parting that is so painful for us. The flame, it is the flame that John the Baptizer spoke of when he said, I baptize you with water, but there is one coming who is greater than me. There is one coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This fire, this divine flame that burns, that transforms the world, it is not on the other side of the sea that you should have to say, who will go and get it for us? This fire, it is not on the heights of a mountain up in heaven where only Prometheus could reach it to bring it back down. That fire, it is burning inside. The world is racked with pain, beloved ones. The world is racked with pain. And the story of the world we are living in, it is a painful one. It cannot be told as if it is cheerful. That is not an honest telling. To look at the world and see it is not enough. Of course. Of course. Of course. We are all of us being told and telling this painful story. And in response, our heavenly teacher, our great shepherd, stands at the foot of that heavenly altar, hands outstretched, burning with the fires of hope, calling out to us, children, why not be completely changed into fire? Amen.